This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am with my quantum entangled co-host, Jon. Hello, Jon.
Yeah, but you're giving it away. We're not talking about quantum entanglement, we're talking about random number generation. Hell has frozen over. We have true random number generation today. It's been in the press.
Right. And the fact that you're very excited about this leads me to believe that you're about to tear something to shreds.
I would never. I'm not a skeptic. I believe everything people write. And when people write that they have written a thing or built a device that can actually generate true random numbers, that would be an impressive feat. Because for the people who don't know, computers cannot actually create random numbers. The number generators are predictable. You can have seeding to make it pseudo-random. But in the end, it is just an algorithm that calculates number, and running the same algorithm at the same time twice will generate exactly the same numbers. There's a very nice Doctor Who episode about that too, but if you want to figure it out. The holy grail of having true random number generation is important because things like cryptography are based on random numbers. And if random numbers aren't truly random, then your cryptography, your encrypted messages are also not really encrypted. They're just hard to decipher, but they are decipherable. So a team published their article in Nature, and then it got picked up, of course, and one website that picked it up was the icfo.eu website, which I have in front of me here. I don't know apart from that, which has a nice title saying that NIST, you know, the big organization that has standardized the kilometer and the meter for all of those imperialists out there. Anyway, NIST and partners use quantum mechanics to make a factory for random numbers. Now, do note, this does not actually use the word true random numbers. They just say random numbers. But this is why I chose this article, because other articles, I mean, the further you go into mainstream media, the more elaborate it gets. And I was actually pointed towards this thing happening through some colleagues who wrote on our internal Slack, hey, we can make true random number generation numbers now. Look, here's the article. And if you read the article, and if you read not just the web article, but the actual Nature article from the researchers, they start with a whole abstract about how real true random numbers don't exist or aren't possible. And they really set the stage to make people believe that they have created true number generation. And that's kind of what put my hackles up. That's why I wanted to talk about this one, because we've had a couple of episodes on debunking quantum stuff before. And this, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, I don't know everything. I know about quantum. I know more than most, but definitely not everything. There's people that are much, much smarter than me. But just reading through the thing, there were a couple of glaring issues. And well, let's go through them, I guess. So the first thing is, using quantum mechanics to create random numbers is not new. You might be surprised, dear listener. We've been doing this for decades. Probably even longer than that. And there's a funny little Wikipedia article. If you look for something called Lava Rand, you will figure out, you find an article that describes how Silicon Graphics in 1996, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I was actually there at the time. They just built a whole wall full of lava lamps, had a video recorder in front of it, taking snapshots every so often, every couple of seconds, I guess. And then they had a system that counted the number of blobs in all of the lava lamps. And hey, random number. Pseudo-random, because of course, if you could start all of those lava lamps in the exact same way, in the exact same longitude, latitude, gravitational, whatever in circumstances, you could generate the same thing, but hard to replicate. So it was seen as a decent way of doing random number generation. But the whole idea of these lava lamps, these wax blobs being generated, that is actually all based on quantum mechanics, because all movement is based on quantum mechanics. Me getting up this morning was a very big case of entanglement between should I or shouldn't I. And in the end, we did coalesce to getting up. But your hair growing, the stock going up and down, it's all in the end quantum number details. And therefore, articles like this It's just clickbait. Putting quantum mechanics in the title here just makes sure that big investors is going to drop money because the quantum. And I'm kind of sad that NIST is actually involved in this thing. But again, the original articles in Nature are a little more restrained than that. Mm. Now, the thing that actually made me suspicious of the whole endeavor here is that they're actually using something called the Bell experiment setup.
Right. Now,
the Bell experiment is a very well-known quantum mechanical experiment. And it was done in the 60s, 70s, 80s, a long time ago. And it was actually in place to prove quantum entanglement.
See, I knew with my intro, I knew we would get there.
Yeah, I know. Whenever you go into quantum, entanglement is going to be in there somewhere. But the experiment is quite simple. First, you start with making two photons entangled. And I say simple, that was actually the hard part, because entangling photons is something that we had to figure out how to do. But in the end, once you know how to do it, reasonably simple to set something up. And then they basically had a situation where one photon was sent to the left, and one photon was sent to the right, to buildings that were like 30 kilometers further away. Mm. And then they detected those photons at the same instant in two geographically distant locations. And they were able to see that both photons had the same characteristics. Same polarity, spin, whatever you want to call it. And that's basically the proof of the non-local whatevers of quantum entanglements, that as long as you entangle them, they will have the same characteristics wherever you measure them, as long as you measure them at the same time. Nothing here is random.
Mm.
This experiment does nothing with randomness. What they do here is they use the setup and then measure the polarity in two detectors. And one detector is set up and the other one is set up in an inverse way, which makes sense from a reliability point of view. If you want to figure out, how precise your measuring apparatus is, having the exact same thing measured in two locations twice, you can see what decimal point they start deviating, so you know your accuracy. So I see why they do this. By doing this quantum entanglement, I have two measurements, so whatever, they measure the angle of the polarity, which is a three-digit number at most, 0 to 360, obviously. So you get two measurements, which should be identical. So any deviation is from the measuring equipment, so you know the exact point where the precision falls off. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, kind of made it fall into place. What these guys built isn't a true random number generator, which, even though they apply, don't really claim. What they built is a way to make sure that a number is generated in a correct fashion, and then have a bunch of hashing algorithms to follow on how they did all the computation to make the eventual random number. Mm-hmm. They add hash values and things like that, so that if you use this number, you actually have a ledger that can guarantee that this number was generated at that moment, that day, in that random number generated thing. So that could help you get out man-in-the-middle attacks who don't give you the random numbers, but give their own feed of numbers, for example. So I can see a reason there. But I've been using things like hashing algorithms and ledger because what they actually are doing is blockchain. They are simply generating random numbers, yes, but classical random numbers, and storing them in a ledger fashion so lineage and provenance can be proven and maintained.
Mm.
I do think that having an article with a title that it has quantum mechanics and blockchain in the title would be too much for anybody's bullshit detector.
Yeah, that would cause a singularity to happen or black hole to appear something would go horribly wrong.
Out of their way to not mention blockchain, and I think I have the copy paste somewhere, the little thing that they actually wrote. I can't find it now. Here. It's what they have created is the Twine algorithm that, air quotes, uses distributed intertwined hash change to cryptographically trace and verify the extraction process.
Yeah.
Which for me says blockchain.
Sounding a lot like blockchain, isn't it? Oh, damn.
Oh, well. And again, yes, these are random numbers, but all of this stuff from quantum mechanics is governed by wave functions. And I've just passed, well, I'm not sure if I passed my exam, I just did my exam, and quantum mechanics was part of it, and one of the things is to figure out statistically what the most probable location of an electron is inside a potential well, and all of the electrons and photons, electrons, kind of same thing, they're both fermions, have the same kind of thing, so all of these things are governed by wave functions. And actually in the paper, they actually specify the wavelengths of the photons they're using. And anything in a wave can be statistically approximated. And yes, we cannot know exactly here, this, then, that was it, apart from Heisenberg. But if you can statistically approach the actual value, it is not a random number anymore. I mean, look at things like radioactive decay. We never know when exactly a beta or an alpha decay is going to happen that will turn this uranium isotope into that uranium isotope. Nobody can predict the exact nanosecond this is going to happen. On the other hand, we can very precisely define half-life of these things. Very precisely. We actually use this for carbon dating. If we can actually use statistics to define precise statistical characteristics, how can it be truly random? Just doesn't work that way.
It seems like there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors. Is that the right phrase?
It's magic and science. I mean, it's science. It's magic up to the point that science can just explain it. And personally, me, and I'm not in the majority here, I don't believe in true randomness. And a lot of people doing a lot of effort into string theory and gravity loop theory. Why? To try and explain why quantum is apparently doing random things. Because cause and effect, there is always a reason for something to happen. Big Bang happened for a reason. We don't know the reason. Doesn't make it magic. And at some point, not sure when, we'll probably figure out why it happened. And at that point, it'll be that. And same thing with these quantum phenomena. At the moment, they're seen as random because we don't understand how to predict them. But we can definitely use statistical algorithms to use them. Otherwise, quantum computing would never be a thing. If all the quantum things were truly random, how would we ever build something that is usable? I mean, yes, if you use enough TV screens with a lot of gray, white, gray, black noise on top of them, if you watch long enough, you will probably see the Monkey Write Shakespeare novel equivalent of having a coherent screen on there. But still, it'll never be usable. And this whole thing is the same idea. So, well, yeah, I mean, on the first time I saw the article, I thought, hey, something useful is coming out of quantum mechanics. Yay, I'm not wasting my time studying this crap. And unfortunately, that didn't take long. And again, it's the whole hyping of this stuff. Kind of wondering what the peer review is going to be around it.
Yeah. I, as audience may well have guessed, this is way above my head, but I did, when you showed me this, I did definitely dive down the Lava Rand rabbit hole, because I remember it back in 1996. I remember it being a thing and being discussed, and, you know, SGI patented it. Obviously that patent has long since expired, but hey, the good news is Lava Rand is still alive and well today. Yes. Cloudflare have continued the randomness lava lamp journey, and in the lobby of their San Francisco office they have a giant wall of lava lamps, and I wonder what the power consumption of that is, because like they use incandescent bulbs, like that's the heat is generated by the bulbs. So it's probably nothing compared to today's GPUs, but like it's not going to be insignificant. But I do just think, you know, having a wall of lava lamps for like business purposes has just got to be one of the coolest flexes of all time. And in fact, if this does sound like at least vaguely interesting to you, there are a couple of articles out there. So like Cloudflare, if you just Google LavaRand, LavaRand, there's a Cloudflare blog on LavaRand, which is titled LavaRand in Production, the Nitty Gritty Technical Details. And there's also another one, which is so that first one was kind of late 2017, and then there's another one similar sort of timing, which is called Randomness 101, LavaRand in Production. And again, I mean, who doesn't love pictures of? I don't know how many lamps they have, but I'm sure it possibly does. But it's literally an alcove wall, you know, with four shelves, and let's say we could count live on the podcast, couldn't we?
Well, it's five per shelf. There's four parts in a shelf times four, so five times four times four. 16 times 5, that is 80.
Yeah, there you go. So if you want to outdo Cloudflare...
I go to school, I can do this stuff from my head now.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to outdo Cloudflare, like, maybe your lava run needs to be 100 lava lamps, and that would be even better. But honestly, like, it's the quantum stuff is out is above my head, but the coolness of lava lamps, I have a lava lamp in my office. It's not on at the moment, I must admit, but I have one. It's one of the limited edition Star Wars ones back in the day, but it is an original Mathmos one. I do have an original Mathmos one as well. I love them. I think they're awesome. So hey, there we go, lava lamps. Lava lamps will never not be cool as far as I'm concerned.
Actually, interesting detail perhaps is that there's a reason that it's not California, because tremors, earthquakes kind of influence how the lava stuff jiggles around, so it adds extra entropy to the whole whole setup. So that's why I looked it up quickly while we were talking. If the Cloudflare one is also it's in San Francisco as well.
Yeah,
and Silicon Graphics was in Mountain View.
Yeah.
So same reasons there. So, and in my opinion, this is way more random than the thing that NIST built.
Yeah.
The biggest change, of course, now is in the days of Silicon Graphics, things like image recognition didn't exist yet. So the thing created a picture, and then somebody counted the blobs and entered a number in the computer.
Jeez. Yeah.
I think one of the first uses of AlexNet was to do automatic blob detection on the lava and so on.
Nice. Well,
I mean, this is an example of how ingenuity just works.
Yeah. And it's cool. Like, it's far cooler than a... I would rather see a wall of 80 lava lamps than any of the pictures I've seen of, like, quote-unquote quantum computers. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I know it looks like something out of 2001, A Space Odyssey, with all the pipes and like the cooling chambers and all this kind of stuff. And it's all very kind of white and padded and all that sort of thing and insulated everywhere. But it doesn't come close to a wall full of lava lamps. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I think the pictures you saw of computers are all the marketing thing. I mean, IBM has had this beautiful glass cube thing they built. That's not what they look like. Just imagine a refrigerator that's been in a cellar for the last 50 years. That's kind of what a concrete looks like these days. A lot of ugly metal.
Fair enough.
But hey, it's not how it looks, it's what it does.
Indeed. But sometimes how it looks matters, and lava lamps are cool.
And with that, I think we can close off this one for this week. This is all the time you have for today, and we're not going to do any quantum jokes about whatever. You can support this podcast, become a patron, contributions to help us, and you can go to our website at www.roaringalpha.org. Links there to a lot of our episodes and some information. Until next time, my name is Cupid John.
And my name is Lava Dave.
Yes, you didn't say that. I look forward to talking to you again about lava lamps, probably again next week. Goodbye.
See you then.